RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Evan Wolf. If you know, you know.
Yes.
If you know, you know. Happy New Year's Eve to those. Nico and Chris, to those that celebrate. It's everybody, right? I mean, the clock turns for everybody.
You kind of celebrate it even if you don't want to celebrate.
Right. Exactly.
It happens.
It happens, no matter what. Are you a stay up till midnight guy, no matter what?
I haven't in years been up. This year,
you
I will.
You know what? I think I remember you saying that. Okay.
This year, I will be. Only because Brooklyn... So we're going to our friend Brian and Teresa's house after we go to dinner, which we talked about earlier. But Brooklyn likes to stay up late.
Okay.
And so like, we were at a friend's house last night. We were supposed to go for, have a drink, have some dinner. We left at midnight. I mean, they don't have school.
They don't have school, right?
I don't have to leave. Tracy had to leave for work at 9 o'clock, but I didn't have to leave until noon.
Right.
So no, I'm just like, all right, whatever.
Only one more week of that, Tiki.
Exactly. Right.
Then we're back to getting up early. Yeah. I don't think I've fallen asleep before midnight probably since I was a kid. I stay up every year, but I wonder when I get to that point where I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel weird if I'm not up. I feel like I wouldn't be able to sleep. I'd get like this weird anxiety of not seeing something so stupid.
So I've only been up one time in the last, I want to say like 8 years. And it was only because I told you the story how I went and married a friend.
Oh, right. New Zealand.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was there for 38 hours because I needed to come home because it was New Year's Eve.
That is crazy.
And so the only reason I know I was up is because I got home at like 11:27.
That's in your door New Year's Eve.
No, no. 11:27 at Newark.
Oh, God.
And then I got an Uber, and I got to Tracy, who was at a friend's house, like 3 minutes before midnight.
What an incredible
so
rally.
So I just made it.
You were almost in the air.
Yes.
Coming off from New Zealand.
So that was the last time I was up.
And New Zealand's what, 24 hours ahead, close to it?
It's, I want to say 13 or 14.
Oh, it's only 13, 14.
Yeah,
that
something like
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
It was a crazy flight, though. It's like 18-hour flight.
Yeah, I remember because that year they did Y2K, when it turned the Y2K.
Right.
All day, every hour, they had like whatever city was celebrating. I thought that was cool that year. Right. And I remember like Australia happening, and it was like the middle of the night the night before. I felt like I was like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
Can't believe they're operating that way. That's crazy. Well, with that, Tiki, we're going to do a little New Year's Cinco related here. Nico, let's fire it up, baby.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. I'm here to give you the five dumbest New Year's resolutions that I've seen come across. All right?
Nice.
Tiki might fight back on any and all of these.
I might agree.
We'll see. All right. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
One of the more popular New Year's resolutions, Tegan, you know, is spend more time with family and friends. And here's why this makes my dumb list. Your New Year's resolution happens coming out of the holidays. Haven't you seen enough of these people?
No, that's solid.
Your resolution?
I got to give you that one.
Yeah.
And it's not just, it's two holidays. It's Thanksgiving followed by Christmas.
Christmas, yeah. And if you gather on New Year's, it's too much.
That's a solid one.
More time with family for you. Yeah. Out of your mind?
Get more specific.
Exactly.
Like, I want to spend more time with my daughter.
Okay.
Whatever.
Little different.
Right.
It's a lazy one. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Be kinder to people. A little newsflash. There's a lot of people out there that suck.
Right.
You should be kind to the people that are kind, but don't just blind be kind to people. If somebody's a jerk to you, you don't don't have to kill them with kindness.
Right.
Hate that resolution.
Give what they get.
Exactly. That's the New York way. All right, here we go.
Number three.
Go to the gym more.
No, stop.
Now, hold on. Hold on. This does not mean you shouldn't exercise and take care of your health. I caution those of you making the resolution that you want to get to the gym more, because you know what happens from January 2nd to January 9th? Mm. Everybody goes to the gym more. Yep. And you know what happens when you can't get on a certain machine you feel comfortable with, or the weight you want to get comfortable with? You feel overcrowded.
Yep.
You feel overwhelmed. And you become one of those people that give up on January 9th. Yes. So I say this. When you're making a New Year's resolution and it's go to the gym more, just say, I want to be healthy more. Maybe that means going for a couple more runs or walks to start the year.
I would say, if you're trying to get in shape, commit to a 30-minute walk every day.
Every day. And then
just a walk.
Just a walk.
30-minute walk.
That gets your blood flowing?
You might run. And then eventually, you have a habit.
And a good habit like that. And then nobody's telling you not to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But how about after you do that for the month of January, then you start committing in February? Because you know what happens in February? Those gyms get empty again.
Yeah, that's right.
And then now you have some healthy habits you picked up. Then you start bringing other weightlifting in.
Now it's a habit, and you're not fighting the crowd.
I can't. Thank you, Tiki. So that's why, for anybody yells, I'm not telling you to be fat in January. All I'm telling you is Tiki had it right. Establish a healthy habit. You will, if you're not a gym goer and you want to go guns a-blazing on Friday, you ain't going to stick with it because you're going to feel too crowded, because it's always that way to start. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Read more books. Tiki, post-football, as it kind of winds down, that's the time to catch up on TV. That's the time to catch up on the movies you missed from the fall.
True.
Read more books? I can't think of a worse way to start my year.
Spend more time with audiobooks.
A little different. I was going to suggest a couple of Giants podcasts.
The question is, why are you reading more books? Because you want to be more entertained. You want to be more informed.
Right. Well, what are you getting into a book for?
Yeah, so,
good point.
So if it's either one of those reasons, I would argue that it's hard to do that. It's hard, just like the gym.
Keep your attention.
It's hard to read a book and stick with it and finish it. It's just hard. If you haven't done it in a while, it's really hard. I would argue, find a podcast to listen to, because podcasts are easy.
Yeah,
to listen to.
Yeah, Talking Giants, One Giant Step.
Right? Exactly.
Those ones come whatever.
I listen to Star Talks. Yeah. I listen to Stuff You Should Know. Stuff like that. Like it gives you knowledge. It makes you smarter. And if you really get interested, then you go get a book. Perfect. On whatever has piqued your interest.
So establish your knowledge habit before getting into the book.
That's exactly right. Create a habit. And then dive into the bigger thing that you're trying to do.
We're giving you a happy, healthier new year here, folks. We're giving it to you. All right, and last but not least.
Number one.
The number one dumbest New Year's resolution that I've seen floating around the internet, and I feel this way every year, is dry January. Hear me out. If you have a serious...
I saw a post on this.
Oh.
If someone asks you to have a dry January, tell them to F off.
Go get a drink. And I want to make this very clear. Those of you that battle serious alcohol issues, you should take this very serious, and you should have a dry January. This is not who I'm talking about here. I'm talking about everybody who loves their wine on a Friday. It's like, I drank too much because the holidays were midweek.
Mm.
Nonsense. Because you know what happens in January on every Saturday or Sunday for the next couple of weeks? The NFL playoffs happen.
Yep.
And who the heck wants to sit down on a Saturday night and watch a game in Foxborough and not have a couple drinks? And I can't do it. I can only have water.
When did dry January become a thing?
I don't know. It's really been the last couple of years I've heard of it. I'm sure it's been a thing for a while. I understand the concept.
I get it as well. But it is, to your point, poorly thought.
It's the time to start drinking.
Because it's the Super Bowl. And it's the playoffs.
Super Bowl's February, but playoffs.
So it should be like dry March. No, it can't be March because that's March Madness.
I got the wheelhouse. If you could separate the idea of needing it to be like a full, like one clean month.
Yeah.
The ideal time to stop drinking is the Monday after the Super Bowl until St. Patrick's Day. So like, let's say that's Monday, February 9th.
Right. Nico said 2013 is when the dry January.
2013. So like 12 years.
12 years.
So walk with me here. This is not a clean month, but it is a month. It's midway through February till midway through March. St. Patrick's Day, that's a nice carrot to get at the end.
People post like Super Bowl, pre St. Patty's Day.
That's it. What do you have to drink for after the Super Bowl? That party's cleaned out.
What is that time? What happens?
It's about a month.
What happens in that time period?
Nothing. I mean, Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You could give up Valentine's Day drinks.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, glass of wine still count. You know, whatever.
That glass of wine doesn't count. It's not alcohol.
It's not alcohol.
Just as long as you have one.
And think about it. Then if you get to St. Patrick's Day, you feel like you accomplished something. And then St. Patrick's Day kind of starts spring, and then you feel good again. That's a clean month.
And the weather's nice.
The weather's nice. Sometimes. Now, the end of March can still be brutal. And March Madness really doesn't get started until St. Patrick's Day anyway. That is the month. Now, here's the problem. People can't look at a calendar and go, but what am I going to do? It's 2 weeks of February. It's 2 weeks of March. You don't need to click the funny name Dry January.
Right.
Just say I'm going alcohol free post Super Bowl to St. Patrick's Day. Mm. That is the wheelhouse to do it.
Mm.
I think I've convinced
Super Bowl Tiki. Super Bowl to St. Patty's Day.
That's it. You guzzle up on Super Bowl Sunday, Monday you clean until St. Patty's
Super
Day.
Super Bowl to St. Patty's.
Super Bowl to St. Patty's.
Mm. What about the spring training opening day fans?
Well, see, only you and Evan Roberts care about that, Nico. So no. If you need a Dos Equis to get you through the first spring training game in Port St. Lucie,
it depends on what your team does in the offseason.
Yeah, which right now for us, maybe we will need several.
Nothing. For either one of our teams.
Nothing. And plenty more on that to come as well. So anyway, that's it. If you have any other dumb New Year's resolutions, we're all ears. 888-808-1019. Brad in Los Angeles. Brad, what's up?
What's up, Brad?
Hey guys, sorry.
What's up?
Hey, I've been thinking about this whole idea of tanking and the number one draft pick, and it got me thinking: how often does a team's number one draft pick win a championship with that team? And so I went back to 2000. I looked at the four major sports, which gave me 100, draft picks, which is a nice even number. Only 14 of them have won a championship with the team that drafted them, and that's all four sports.
Wow.
Seven of them are in hockey. Only one was in the NFL.
Who was
Eric
the one?
Eric Fisher with the Chiefs, who isn't even a quarterback. Obviously, there's an asterisk with Eli because he wasn't technically drafted by the Giants.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But the other three, Eli, David Carr, who was Eli's backup, and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. Now, Brad, you got to remember, there's a couple things that
Stafford did it. On another
with
team.
Another team.
On another team.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying, but wouldn't you also argue that Brady winning all those championships skews that number a little bit, too?
I mean, yes, Brady skews it.
Because Peyton Manning, obviously, by the way, was drafted in 98.
Yeah.
That's true. I know. I did. It's a convenient cutoff. But I went even deeper, though, and I looked at top 10 picks. So if you look at top 10 picks in the NFL, there's 250 for the last 25 years,
right,
if you count all top 10.
Right.
Only 18 of them have won a championship with the team that drafted them, which is 7% of those players.
That is crazy. But it also shows you
that's a great stat,
Brad. It is a great stat.
Good research on that.
That is great research. The dysfunction of a lot of those teams that pick in the top 10 that don't get it
right.
Yeah,
well, that's also part of the challenge, is that when you're picking in the top 10, you've been bad. So, I mean, you're not – if you're a top 10 drafting team, you're not getting really good year one. Sometimes it takes like year three, four, five before you become even playoff viable. And so then the lifespan of that draftee is maybe 6 to 8, 10 years maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's quarterback, sometimes it's longer. But a lot of these guys.
That's why you better get it right on the position, because that lifespan is, 8, 10 years. Okay. But let's play this year. Okay. Let's just go with the most common thing and let's think about top 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots and Bills are making it out of the AFC East, two top 10 pick quarterbacks.
Yes.
Okay? AFC North, neither, with Rodgers and Lamar. Lamar was pick 32 overall. Mm-hmm. Rodgers a free agent. And only one of those teams making it anyway. The AFC South has two teams going. Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud was the number two overall pick.
All right.
Both will go to the playoffs. Bo Nix was not a top 10 pick, but a first-round pick. Justin Herbert was a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bo Nix and the AFC North winner. So you have five of the seven are going to be top 10 picks at quarterback for the AFC.
Right.
In the NFC, not Jalen Hurts. Caleb Williams, yes.
Yep.
Jordan Love, no. South, if it's Bryce Young, yes.
Yep.
And then the West.
Or if it's Baker.
Baker was a different team.
Different team, right.
Because I could include Seattle. Sam Darnold was a top five pick, but different team. Purdy, no. Stafford, no. So the NFC is a little muddier, but you know what? Caleb Williams gets there this year. What are we going to say?
Yeah.
So, I think there's not an exact
science. You never want to make it all about the quarterback, but let's face it, it is.
All of those teams have quarterbacks.
They all do.
And even if they didn't find him in the top 10,
And even the ones, talking about the Rams, for instance, because we just brought him up. He was one of the guys that won a Super Bowl. Even with the Rams, you know you have a good quarterback.
And how did they acquire the quarterback? They still needed another quarterback that was picked one or two to trade in that unique circumstance.
Right.
The bottom line is this. The quarterbacks that are good in the NFL, for the most part, are all taken in the first round.
Yes.
And even more of them are taken in the top 10. And that's just the name of the game. Now, we could find, the
Dak defies it.
Yeah. Dak's different. Hurts was a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. There are outliers at all. But for everybody that says it's so hard to identify getting the quarterback right, picking inside the top 10, there's more evidence that it's harder to do it if you don't have a quarterback inside, the top 10 or the first round at least.
Right.
Which is what could make the Giants' selection of Jackson Dart kind of that wild as well, that they were able to get Abdul Carter and go that way. But there's not an exact science, but the bottom line is this. You either have a quarterback or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much harder to do it if you don't.
Right.
Billy in Mount Pleasant. Billy, what's up?
Hey there, guys.
What's up?
New listener to the show. I just wanted to say that there's a move that I think the Giants should make. I think Sheen is going to stay.
Shane.
So he should reach out to He should reach out to Bean and make a move for McDermott, because he's been very good to develop, and he's been there for 8 years.
But to make a move means to trade for McDermott. I'm not trading any asset for Sean McDermott.
Yeah. He hasn't won some of these games that you thought he was going to finally get over the hill and or the hump and get into a Super Bowl. And he's had the team to do it. He's been in position to do it.
13 seconds in Buffalo.
Yeah, it just
over Kansas City.
Something's just missing with him.
Sean,
and he's not. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. Evan hates him obviously because of the 9/11 stuff.
No, but he feels like ironically Thibodeau, a coach that's good enough to get you to a certain point,
right? Get you right.
Yeah,
but not good enough to get you over the top.
The Buffalo Bills, and I know that they've been dealing with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's almost like the Bills need their Mike Brown.
Yes, yes, and with all due respect, Buffalo this year. This should be the year. Patrick Mahomes has cleared you out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance we wake up Monday morning and Lamar Jackson is not in the playoffs in the AFC.
But now all of a sudden,
it's Drake May, it's Bo Nix.
You're not even winning the division.
Yeah. But this is where I have an issue with McDermott. You dealt so much with, we kept talking about, the AFC powers are always the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens.
Yes.
The Bills are probably going to be the only team that goes to the playoffs out of that trio. Won't be playing at home in the process. And that doesn't mean they can't go to the Super Bowl.
And they'll probably still be favorites in some of these games.
And I'm sure they will be. McDermott doesn't get there this year. I don't want to hear that they were going on the road in these games. Because when you were home, you weren't winning these games either.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And I think Buffalo will actually have to have a deep conversation. And not for nothing, we keep hearing about Joe Brady's name as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Buffalo, and you see the way Josh Allen has a Brady, and you see teams calling Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Maybe you just promote from within.
Yeah.
And maybe McDermott is out. And I don't think it's crazy to think that McDermott doesn't survive after January. Because how many more times are you going to do this?
Look, you can only go so far sometimes and realize that this guy is not the guy.
Now, would I talk to Sean McDermott if we didn't have to give up a pick and he was fired by Buffalo if you're the Giants?
Mm.
I mean, yeah.
You'd have to.
You'd have to. He wouldn't be the top of my list.
Mm.
But I would be at least open-minded to understand that he had some established success and made the Bills in front of the players.
Well, he knows how to run a winning franchise.
Yes.
And I don't care what you think about a guy. That's a skill.
It is.
This is why John Harbaugh is interesting. This is why Mike McCarthy is interesting. You have experience running a winning franchise. And that's everything. That's the schedule that you make.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you run training camp. It's how you run your practice schedule. It's all of those things that optimize getting the best from your players. And I think sometimes when you hire these young, new head coaches, these guys that are 38 to 42 years old and have never been a head coach before, it takes them some time to figure just that. How do I run this thing?
Yeah.
Like, I answer to the boss, meaning sometimes the GM, certainly the owner. But other than that, it's my show. And if you don't know what the hell you're doing, it can get out of sorts really quickly.
There's a whole nother level of pressure that comes with that.
100%.
The Giants need a guy that does not fail at that right off the jump.
Right.
Tad in Connecticut. Tad, what's up?
Hey, Tad.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a long time. Happy holidays and a wonderful new year to you and your family.
Likewise. You as well, Tad.
How come, especially in light of his the illness that he's going through right now, and with everything going on with the track record of hires over the last decade or so, why not hire an outside organization, like a consulting firm,
right,
to like be Jets, able like, yeah, to like evaluate?
The Jets did this with the 33rd team.
Because then you bring in eyes on the outside that are non-biased with an independent perspective as to what the best way is moving forward, whether it's keeping, you know, the GM, et cetera, et cetera. You have the money to do that. Is that an ego thing that gets in the way?
No, I think it's just like, I think it's just an just a way that they've operated thing. Giants have never had to, they've never done that.
Yeah.
And so if you had success, so let's not forget, the Giants, despite their recent run of mediocrity at best, are a team that has won a championship in every decade in the last four decades.
Correct.
Right? And so the success has been real, and they haven't had to, you know, think differently. But the game has evolved. I think the coaching search process has evolved, and hell, Joe Shane gets lauded because he brought computers.
I imagine. Just by getting rid of refrigerator magnets.
Right. He brought computers to the draft, you know, room, draft boards and things of that nature. So I think the Giants are still evolving into what modern sports technologies can provide or sports business practices can provide. So could they consider that? Sure, of course they could. But I don't think they would even know who to hire.
Because
how many of them are there?
Well, and the 33rd team, we're already having a talk about whether Aaron Glenn is the right guy for the job,
right,
or not.
Maybe they screwed this up.
Yeah, and look, some of those things might work. I know it worked with the Lions, but that was bringing in Barry Sanders and I forgot who else. But they like brought guys that were close to Detroit.
Yeah, no, it was all of the, what was his name? I forget now. But they had a committee.
A committee, right. But it was trusted Lions people more than an outside firm.
Yeah.
The outside,
it was people, it was stakeholders.
Stakeholders. The problem with the outside firm stuff is, this all sounds right, but I just don't trust these outside firms that they're not just looking to get their next guys that they know and kind of push them up the pecking order. Right.
Especially if it's an organization like the 33rd team.
Yeah, because that just feels like it's more like
they have relationships with all of these former executives, athletes. Like Rondé works for the 33rd team. Like he does some analysis for them. So, I mean, you push who you know.
Right. You're going to push your guys. Does that mean that you necessarily know that you got it right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't trust any of it. And it's easy to say you need to hire an outside firm when you haven't gotten it right a couple turns in a row. Eventually you have to, though, don't you?
Right. Eventually it will.
Yeah. Eventually you get it right. Now, I know that doesn't sound great. That's not a great answer because it just sounds like you're playing Candyland, but it is true. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Oceanside. Tommy, what's up?
I would say 99% of Giants fans believe in Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And they got the few people that say he's going to get hurt. He runs like an animal. He's going to get hurt. Dale Jones played conservative, and he gets hurt every single year, so you don't know what's going to happen.
That's
freak
a good
happen.
Point.
Freak injuries happen.
Good point.
But what I need to know from you guys, is this rumor that they're going to trade Jackson Dart for the kid Mendoza, the Heisman?
It's nonsense.
Is it legit? And even if it was, let's just say it was hypothetically, what sense does that make? That's kind of a rhetorical question, but I just want to hear what you
guys think. It makes no sense. In fact, when Evan and I had that conversation, and we were talking facetiously, because Evan, for whatever reason, is very high on evaluating every option, including the new head coach or whoever it is with the New York Giants, maybe wanting Fernando Mendoza. You can't rule it out.
Right.
And moving on from Jackson Dart. And so he asked me, well, what would it take? I was like, yeah, Fernando Mendoza's got to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
Joke. He did, yeah.
So when I said that, I got a note from a friend of mine who works at the Giants, and he says, you're blanking crazy. So it's just not happening.
No.
It's not even real. It's nonsense.
It's not real when we played real or not real.
Yes, that should have been one we put in there because it's nonsense.
It's not, and just I'm asking everybody who even thinks there's like a realm of reality to the idea of the Giants trading Jackson Dart to remember these important things. I don't care what Ian Rappaport threw out there. The Giants have to act interested in a quarterback if they want somebody to trade with them,
right,
picking at one or two. Remember this. If they're trading Jackson Dart, who's making that trade? Door number one is Joe Shane's making that trade after selling ownership. That the one thing he did right was trade up for Jackson Dart. Like, the right. biggest thing he did right was that.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense because then you're telling them that you deserve to be fired because you failed at drafting the quarterback.
Right.
Door number two is new GM, new coach comes in. They want to trade Jackson Dart and get Mendoza. Okay, but here's the other problem with door number two. The whole reason the Giants job is attractive is because of Jackson Dart.
That's true.
So if these guys are taking the job with the Giants because it's attractive over another job, they're taking it for the guy you think they could be trading.
Right,
which, so whichever door you open, does it make sense that Jackson Dart is getting traded?
Right. It's just it's a clickbait story.
Exactly. Just enough. And I know this is hard for people to fathom and understand because we have lived in the murkiest, crappiest football waters for a long time.
Mm.
And this applies to both the Jets and the Giants. You know, just because the franchises have sucked now for a while doesn't mean they're allowed to have nice things and doesn't mean they're allowed to get things right, not allowed to get things right. The Giants, maybe by pure luck, seemingly look like they got the quarterback situation right. Why on earth does it seem like there's a handful of you that want to now run this guy out of town for another lottery ticket on a quarterback next year?
You don't know it's going to be...
Take the win and right. put it in your pocket and focus on the other problems on the team.
I agree.
That's it.
Because there are other problems on the team.
Big
that
problems.
Are more important.
Big problems. 888-808-1019. I'll continue to take your calls on this. Plus, ask Knick fans why you don't love your team as much as others.
Mm. RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
TV. Getting ready for amateur night. As we like to say, amateur night will probably be a lot of like Wii bowling at my house. So big time spot.
Is Wii still a thing?
So it was. We had one. We had one. That was totally unintentional. And then like the cord didn't work right to the new TV. We actually just got Santa brought our kids. It's like kind of like an updated version of Wii. It's called the Next system, the NEX system.
Hmm.
So instead of having like the controllers like we had, it has like a lot of the similar games. There's bowling, there's pop a shot, there's all these fun games, but your body is the controller.
Really?
So it's like this.
How
little,
does it connect?
So I had to set this whole thing up, but I want to make sure I read the instructions right. It's this little cube that comes with this little camera, and it goes in HDMI cord to the back of your TV,
okay.
And there's like a remote control that powers it on, and like you could pick whatever. But the camera will have a two-player option, and it gives you like two picture boxes, and it has you stand them. So you're looking at the TV, and you can see yourself. Then it scans your body,
really?
Puts it up, and then like the first game they give you for free is like the Ninja Fruit game.
Yeah.
And you're just moving your arms, and it picks up everything.
Wow.
And you're playing like virtual reality on your TV.
Oh, that's
it's called
cool.
The NEX system. Yeah, but we'll probably be playing a lot of that in the house. But yeah.
Nice.
Kids loved it.
My kids would love that.
Yeah, no, and that was the thing. So our kids had never had a. They're young. They
the
never.
The problem
had,
is, they're not into video games. My younger girls are not into video games.
So, but Tiki, I'm living the same thing. Like my kids, they also got a trampoline for Christmas. They much prefer that. They're bouncing off. But this kind of thing is still a kind of exercise. So you're moving your body around. So we're like, you know what? We're not giving them an Xbox. They're not getting the, you know, whatever. Let's see how they do with this.
Mm.
And they're into it. My youngest actually right away had the best lunch. She goes, Daddy, it's like Chuck E. Cheese came to the house. She was in there. She was mind blown. She's not used to, because they don't know anything about video games. It was the first thing they ever got like that.
Right. That's cool.
But that'll be what New Year's Eve is like for amateur hour in my house, because half my family is, my exterior family is getting the flu now. So that's nice.
Nice.
Everybody stay away.
So no party.
No, no party.
Lock the door.
Lock the doors.
Close
that's
the
it.
Shades.
Nobody allowed in. Daddy's having scotch in the college football playoff while the kids slice ninja fruit.
Right, you got school next week.
Exactly. And I got a new time slot next week. I can't be getting... I got the flu last year. Remember how bad that
yes,
was?
Yes, I do remember.
Brutal.
You also got to be out of bed at 6:30.
Yeah, oh, God. What a different world. I'm going to be battling the school buses in. Midday, starting Monday. 888-808-1019. The Knicks last night, great win over New Orleans. I mean, this team, it's just... You expect nothing less at this point.
Well, because we talk a lot about Tibbs and how Tom Thibodeau was so important to get the culture change for the New York Knicks, and then they started to upgrade the roster. But there is just something about developing everybody. It's not just hey, grow and be a good player, Jalen Brunson. You know, Karl Anthony Towns and OG, grow and be a good player. It's these guys, Tyler Kolek. Or Mo Diawara last night. Like, all of these guys now have a role, and they feel important. Like, individually, they think that they're important to this team.
Because they are.
They played 12 guys last night.
Yeah.
Now, Hock Party was bad, but other than that, everybody contributed in this game. And so, when I watch what the Knicks have become, it's deep, and it's survivable when Josh Hart, who's now out mm-hmm. with an injury... is not there.
That's exactly it. They could not survive, like when OG got hurt last year, they could not survive the injuries, or they wouldn't be able to in the postseason, as we saw with the war of attrition.
Right.
This is accomplishing two things for the Knicks now this year. Number one, it's helping them by playing 12 guys deep like last night, avoid some of the overextension of minutes unnecessarily in mm-hmm. some of these games that should keep the bodies healthier come the postseason.
Yep.
And it's getting them valuable experience now that so if you do have a key injury come the postseason, because that's what this is all about for the Knicks team, you will have guys you feel comfortable going to because yes. you relied on them all season
or
long.
Or somebody gets cold.
Yes. And look, I mean, the Knicks are so deep right now. Past years we're worried about like, oh, what are the Knicks going to be, you know, fishing for in the buyout market? I don't even know if you're worried about that with right now.
You probably could because you could use another wing.
Sure.
Or big, you know, like just another guard, something like that. But
they're so good, Tiki, they could roll with what they have.
100%. They really are. I mean, they closed the lineup out last night, and it was Deuce and Jalen and OG, who's been unbelievable defensively, and Cat, obviously, Karl Anthony Towns, and then... We're rewatching it now. This is it was so well coached and well done. Their closeout team right now can make shots. They can play relatively good defense, and even against some of the better teams, you don't fear them.
No,
and so they become this team that even if they play poorly, you still think they can win.
Yeah, they're never out of these games, as we know, and as we saw on Christmas, obviously with their biggest comeback. Of the season. I also, you could tell I have some emotional hedging going as a non-Knicks fan. So today I get like my FanDuel like end of year review.
Right.
Most teams bet on and won for me this year. Three.
Knicks?
Knicks with three. Mm. It was Kansas City Chiefs, which I must have been on some run with them in January last year, and I probably bet them early this year. Chiefs, Notre Dame, and the Knicks. And I just openly laughed at the Knicks, and I thought about this show and all we talked about with the emotional hedging. So this year has been very fruitful for the New York Knicks, for Daddy's pockets.
I mean, they look like the best team in the East.
Now, the question is, we know they're the best team in the East. Where are Knicks fans? We got the first round here of the All-Star voting in, and number one makes a lot of sense in the East. We have Giannis. All right, that's a global player.
Yeah, and he's missed so much time. It's just kind of like...
But he's such a global star that'll give him a pass. I have no issue with that. So I'm thinking, number two, we have the biggest city in America. This is New York's team. Mm. Brunson, surely number two, Tiki. Jalen Brunson's number three.
Behind?
Tyrese Maxey has...
I know he's a great player.
Great player and very deserving.
That means Philly's showing out for him then.
Well, that's exactly my problem here with the Knicks fans. 32,000 more votes than Jalen Brunson.
It's not January yet.
Okay.
That's what this is. It's the Knicks fan is not not all in yet.
I almost admire Knicks fans from the standpoint of saying the All-Star game means so little to you because you have bigger things in your docket. Like, I actually admire that. But at the same time.
Yeah, make him an All-Star.
He's going to be an All-Star, but like you can't have a Philly player when we have this many more people in New York than in Philadelphia have more votes than your quote-unquote Prince of New York.
And it's easy to vote now.
Yes, easier than ever.
All you got to do is go online and vote.
I'm not the tell people to go vote, but you should be voting.
Would you go online and vote?
No, I mean, this is the problem. I'm a total hypocrite when saying this. Yeah. I haven't voted for a single All-Star of any of my teams in at least a decade. You know when I stopped voting?
I think we did it as a show bit 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Did we?
Yeah. I forget who it was.
You might see stuff on Twitter, like vote for the Pro Bowl.
It was baseball, though. It wasn't even basketball. It was baseball we were doing it for.
I stopped voting for All-Stars the moment the stadium stopped taking the paper ballots out. I used to love sitting there and punching the holes and everything. Right. I can't be bothered to go online. I've matured.
Well, that's how the Knicks fan is right now.
I know I'm being a hypocrite, and that's why I'm kind of poking fun at Knicks fans. But seriously, Tyrese Maxey can't have more votes than Jalen Brunson. We have more people. Can you get out there and vote? Either that, or
he deserves to be an All-Star.
Either that, or recognition that this is a two-team town, and a lot of these Nets fans are just not going to vote for Jalen Brunson. 888-808-1019. No takers? No takers in the bait? Okay. No. Mike in Clifton Park.
Do we care about the Nets?
Yeah. Hey, they're hot.
Guys,
they played well with the Warriors last night.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, so listen, Tiki, you have to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I listen to the Giants on the radio often.
Yeah.
And for the last 10 years, it's been over, under, or fact or fiction. We know the Giants stink. We know what the answers are going to be for all these things. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to drive my car into a tree. It's always,
I think I got a couple of those, though, this weekend, especially the Jackson Dart under 240 yards passing or something like that.
Oh, my God. It is
the Tina loves those.
Okay. I know.
It's painful. And one more Giant point, please. I think a new GM for the Giants should be Leon Rose. Mr. Mara, please. And if you don't hire Leon, Mr. Mara, please ask him who to hire.
Yeah.
No shame anymore.
Right. Or thanks, somebody Mike. Like that.
Yeah.
Somebody who just has a plan and is just quietly going to go about it. Doesn't care if people get upset that he's not public and visible and telling you the plan. Just go do it.
By the way,
it took some time, for the Knicks. They got incrementally better every year, and now this year feels like their season. But it was so quiet and so well orchestrated that it's hard not to give him a ton of credit
for how we went about it. They were the Giants.
Of course they were. They were inept. You knew they weren't winning anything.
I take the quietest of Leon Rose, too. And so we get so angry at the football general managers and coaches because we hear from them too.
Yes.
We hear from them more than we see the team play because there's so few games.
Yes, that's right.
And it drives you nuts. I would like to peel back. I think we would be way more sane about our football teams if we didn't hear from them as much.
That's a good point.
You know? I said we couldn't wait to see the Joe Shane bye week press conference. We all were guilty of it.
Right.
Oh, I got to see him. He's out there. What's he going to say? He's going to stumble. And you're rooting for him to fail in what he says too.
Right.
What a sickness we have.
I know.
Andrew and Shirley. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What's up, dude?
Nothing much. I wanted to. I know we dived a little bit into the Knicks. We're bouncing back a little bit.
Yeah, everything's on the table, Andrew. What do you got?
Yeah. Listen, let's go Knicks. I'm just waiting for the playoffs really to judge the changes. If I'm being honest.
Right. No, you're right.
But with the Giants, I'm thinking about everything. I know we're in a top five pick. I'm not a tanker, so I know the players don't tank. So I don't waste my energy on discussing what's a good move or bad move. Jackson Dart's not going to throw the ball backwards on purpose, type of thing.
Right.
So my thing is, though, this offseason, and I'm pretty sure it's doable with the money that gets cleared up in, 27, 28, or whatever, I want, a borderline irresponsible offseason with the Giants, with the additions to the team. Understanding the quarterback, contract clock that you automatically get on when you have a QB that's going to get paid in the future. I want borderline.
That makes sense, Andrew.
Boosting the team.
Yeah.
And I want them to get better, obviously, very, very fast. But I'm willing to be like I said, I use the word irresponsible because that's just what it is. I'm willing to get silly, basically, this offseason and not have to slow play this in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I mean, the question, we had this conversation last week about the Rams' philosophy and how they went about crafting a Super Bowl a contender. They ended up losing to the Patriots in one of the ugliest Super Bowls ever.
Uh-huh.
Well, unbelievable game, defensive game plan by Bill Belichick.
But boring as hell.
Boring as hell. But whatever. They kept that philosophy going for another 3 years, and they finally won one. And it was all through acquisition. And whatever asset we needed to use to get a viable NFL star, we're going to do it. And they mortgaged their future. The draft picks meant nothing. And by the way, I love that for the Rams. I know they needed to win because they were new to Los Angeles, and you need to win if you're going to try to compete for fan interest in Los Angeles. But still, I love that for them. If I was a Rams fan, if the Giants did that, I'd be all about it.
Yeah.
Go get me some, even if they're aging stars, like a Von Miller, not Von Miller now, but like.
At that time.
The Von Miller of now. Go get that guy. And the Odell Beckham of now. Go get that guy and try to win right now, because why wait?
Right. And again, they did that with Stafford. You can't wait when you have a quarterback.
No.
You've got to seize the moment.
100%.
You never know when you're getting
especially
back.
Especially, as he was alluding to, there's a clock that you have before mm-hmm. you have. If your quarterback turns out to be the guy and you're paying him $50, $60 million a year, it gets a lot harder to build a roster.
You can't do that. Now, I stumbled on something here, Tiki, that I've been directed to on the internet. And are you aware of Doug Analytics on Twitter?
Doug Analytics.
Doug_Analytics. He covers a lot of stuff Giant related.
Right.
Really good, like good follow for all the intricacies. Used to be good if you had playoff scenarios on the table.
Okay.
So he has uncovered the Giants getting the first pick scenario. And did you know that if the Raiders win, I'm sorry, if the Raiders
lose
on Sunday, let me just make sure I'm getting this right. If the Giants lose,
the Raiders are 2-14. They are yeah. sit alone at number one.
Okay, so this is it. So if the Raiders win, it's not as simple as the Raiders win, Giants lose, the Giants still get the number one pick. The Giants still need other things to happen.
Okay.
All right. So remember, Raiders lose doesn't matter. They're the number two pick. So for those thinking Raiders win, Giants lose, Giants back to number one, that's not the case. The Giants still would need two of the following four to occur. So keep this in your mind.
Okay.
Seattle beat San Francisco.
Why? Strength of schedule?
Strength of schedule. Okay. Four options here.
Right.
Cleveland beat Cincinnati. Joe Burrow playing right now. Cleveland beat Pittsburgh. I don't love that.
Yeah.
Atlanta beats New Orleans.
Okay.
New Orleans hot.
That's doable. Atlanta's hot.
Chicago beats Detroit.
All those things have to happen.
Two
of those four have to happen.
Plus
the Raiders winning.
This doesn't make me feel any better. Because I kind of just thought, hey, Chiefs could lay down, Raiders win, Giants lose. I still need to rely on two of those things to happen. I don't think Seattle's beating San Francisco. You and I might disagree on that.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Cincinnati, I don't know what the hell to expect.
Yeah,
it could be Joe Burrow's last game with the Bengals.
It also could be a we-don't-care fest.
Right. Atlanta beating New Orleans. Atlanta's hot right now. Sure, that could happen, but New Orleans has won these games.
I think Atlanta's playing hard for
Raheem Morris. All right, so let's say that's your best-case one.
Yeah. So now you need another one.
Chicago to beat Detroit. Now, here's the thing. Chicago's going to be playing for the two seed, right? So
yes.
You think they're going to go all out. Is Detroit going to run away and hide under Dan Campbell? Are they going to want to play spoiler versus the Bears in that game Sunday?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think they want to play spoiler because they're eliminated.
So, again, I'm just here to reiterate. Doug Analytics has caught my attention. It's not just the Raiders winning Raiders win, Giants lose. It's Raiders win and two of those four to happen for the Giants to get the number one pick. So it just feels like it's getting further and further and further
away. I mean, it is. I've conceded it. I don't even think it's an issue right now. The Giants getting a number one pick. It's not even – I'm fine with two if they should lose to the Dallas Cowboys, which we'll talk about on Friday. Who knows what the Cowboys are going to do?
Yeah, and that's the other report earlier is that Jerry Jones playing very coy on Dak's going to start, but we don't really know what's going on.
Yes.
888. Also, if the Giants win that game and Dak starts – and Dak gets taken out, I don't want to hear about Dak's win streak versus the Giants. Don't count. Start of the game. 888-808-1019. Mike and Stony Brook. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, dude.
Thank you. I think what's happening with the Jets right now is exactly why the Giants need to hire Mike McCarthy. Jets are about to make an investment in draft capital in years
mm-hmm.
On a quarterback, and the best way to ruin that quarterback is to have a bad coach.
Yeah.
And that might be their problem right now. McCarthy, maybe he's not great, but he's not going to ruin Darkly, even develop him.
Yeah.
And
It's interesting.
Stabilize the franchise.
Talking about is the Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
You're talking about hiring the Tom Thibodeau. Like, don't hire the guy who's going to help you win a championship. Hire the Tom Thibodeau.
Hire the guy that establishes a baseline level of success.
And you know it, right? He's done it consistently everywhere he's been, and you know he's not going to be bad.
I
but you know there's probably it's a thin ceiling. I'm not saying it's an impenetrable ceiling, but it's a thin ceiling, it feels like, on Mike McCarthy.
And that's the thing. That's what scares me off about McCarthy. I think football more and more is starting to pass McCarthy by here a little bit. Mm. I didn't like the way it kind of ended with Dallas. Yes, he won a bunch of games. We've seen that they're loaded with talent.
Yeah.
I get the Thibodeau approach. I get the idea of you've been so bad for so long, get a coach in here just to stop the garbage. I get the argument. However.
But, keep going.
I think it's still imperative to hire the coach you think can be the coach for the next 10 years that you can win a Super Bowl with, too. Like, nobody's saying you can't accomplish both. If that means taking a swing on another coordinator, I got to know the staff that's coming in. But if I like the upside of that more, I'm better off doing that. I don't want to fire Mike McCarthy in 3 years.
So here's the thing. You don't know that Mike McCarthy is not that guy.
Makes it trickier. Like, you're right.
Right. Because when I think about when the Giants hired Tom Coughlin.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He felt like the guy just to bring in and get everything back in order.
Because he had hit the ceiling in Jacksonville.
He had hit the ceiling in Jacksonville, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about where the Giants were. Mm-hmm. We had a bad 04. We just need to get some stabilization. And by the way, bad in my era of playing football was not nearly as bad as what we're seeing now. It was rare that you saw 2-win teams or 4-win teams. In the NFL. I'm talking...
Yes, the Giants could be 4 wins and be the 7th worst team in the league.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's right. So that didn't happen in my era. There were maybe a couple of teams that were just crappy and won 3 games. You didn't see... There are 4 teams with 3 wins.
It's insane.
Five teams with less than 4 wins.
You could have 6 wins and pick 5th overall in the draft back in the day.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. So... When you have that season, and we had, the Giants wanted just to stabilize. And then Tom Coughlin came in. We knew he had a ceiling that he had kept hitting in Jacksonville. He stabilized the team. They get to the Super Bowl, and they win. And then he wins another one. And so you don't know when that guy could become the Super Bowl winning coach, even right. If he is the stabilizing coach. So I'm not anti-Mike McCarthy. I just feel like there might be other opportunities that are better.
Yes, and again, we don't know what other coaches are officially getting fired here. I'm going to guess there's at least 2 coaches that get fired.
Because right now there's only 2.
Only 2. So let's see these coaches that lose jobs.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is those of you that want Mike McCarthy will view at least 1, if not 2, of the coaches that get fired as in higher regard than Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people's crutch in going to Mike McCarthy right now is he's the available name, and we've had an availability for the Giants for 7 freaking weeks now.
Yeah.
That's why.
Right.
888-808-1019.
I think from the north, you might get 3. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, we'll get back to your second offense. I think from the north, you could get 3 coaches.
Browns, Stefanski, Bengals, Taylor, and then the loser of the Steeler Raven.
You could get 3 from the north. Maybe.
It would be so funny if Tomlin's the only one to keep their job in the north.
That's right. You already have 1 in the south. I think that's it.
Arizona will fire Gannon, I think.
I think so as well. In the AFC West, I don't think anybody's going. I think Pete Carroll's got another year.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, but I tend to agree.
So I think there's going to be three, four, five. There's going to be five jobs.
Yeah, and the surprise will probably be Baltimore at this point.
Yeah, there's going to be definitely four, maybe five.
Yeah, and that's not as much. Usually there's about seven.
Yeah.
But that could mean more carousel next year.
Right.
All right, back to you, Vince and Garfield. Vince, what's up?
Hey, Vince, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So listening to what you guys are talking about, one of the callers talked about an outside consulting firm. I just think that's just weird. I can't think of any consulting firms that have actually helped any NFL teams. But more importantly, Tiki, is the guy who was working in that office that, you know, on the field and such.
Right.
The Mariners have a lot of family members. Do any of them have any outside of Wellington have any practical experience working in football operations?
Oh, yeah. Tim does. Tim McDonald has a ton. He left school, went to Notre Dame, worked for Charlie Weiss. Then he was, I forget where he was, interim. Then he came back to the New York Giants. So he's had a lot of experience in the field that he's tasked to do. But other than that, no. I mean, it's really just John. I know Chris is involved as well. Frank is in the marketing side. And so I don't think there needs to be.
No.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you. And yeah, and like you brought up, Tim worked his way up in other places.
100%.
Yeah. Wouldn't you come back too, you know,
I mean, I would. Your family owns a franchise.
Of course.
You spent the time to leave and go learn the business.
That is, you know, whether it's unfortunate or fortunately for Tim in that spot, that has become like a point with like Giant fans where there's this like big perception that like, well, it doesn't matter. You change over the GM. There's just so many family members in the front office.
Well, I mean, people assume that everybody from the Giants family is involved in the front office. Now Susan's there, McDonald. Mm-hmm. Tim's the mom. That's John's oldest sibling.
Sister.
It's his sister, his oldest sibling. She's there. John's there. And Chris is there. Frank is there. Tim's there. Everybody else is just, I mean, they come on game day.
Right, right. They're there. They're there to hang out, watch the game.
It's not all 42 grandkids and 11 kids.
Agree. Right, right. That's not Joe Shane just showing up to work with all of them every day.
Right. That's what people assume. It's a misnomer.
Yeah. Well, and you know what happens, right? When you lose for that long, people are going to start pointing to that. This is the problem in the building.
Yeah, you just start looking for an excuse.
Right.
When the obvious excuse is that the roster hasn't been good enough. It's better now, but it hasn't been good enough. And the coaching's been bad.
Right. They haven't hired the right coach.
Yes.
And as a result, the roster hasn't been up to par. 888-808-1019. One more full hour to play with on Evan and Tiki. Making us earn these afternoons.
Wow.
Making us earn them, baby. Scott Farrell comes up in about an hour. Shake it up. 888-808-1019. A true potpourri hour of sports radio coming up on Evan and Tiki. More when we return.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.